As we're going through these sort of elective series on sort of different topics, I realized that these last three sermons all have a connection that I didn't intend to from the beginning, and that is that the three sermons all are going to talk about the Holy Spirit at some point. And I didn't realize that when I first set it up. But this is the first one that is going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. And I made kind of a note that we don't often talk about the Holy Spirit, that we kind of shy away from the Spirit at times. To characterize this, I have a little study guide that's kind of meant to be a small group study guide that's authored by Chuck Swindoll. And it's on the Trinity. So, of course, it talks about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I noticed from the very first onset of going through this study that there was not equal treatment of all three persons in the Trinity. The Father receives 8 chapters in his little study on the Trinity. The Son receives 9 chapters. And the Holy Spirit receives 4. Often that is our approach to the Holy Spirit. We spend far less time talking about Him and His work and what He's there for. We often spend so much more time talking about the other two. Partly that is because the Holy Spirit's work is meant to point to the other two. We'll take a look at John 16:14 towards the end of the sermon. But I think we also kind of shy away from the Holy Spirit because we don't want to be labeled like a charismatic or a Pentecostal. Nor do we want to encourage our members to wreck their spiritual lives on the jagged rocks of health and wealth gospel or the false teachings of seed planting that often accompany that group. For me, learning about the Holy Spirit explained many real things about the teachings of God's Word and made them more real for me. The teachings of the apostles, the fellowship of the saints, the adoption of us into God's family, the process of salvation, which is justification, sanctification, and glorification, and we used a lot of big words there for a second. But it also has to do with the mission of God's church to spread the gospel and the good news to unbelievers here and around the world. You also may have some reservations about the Holy Spirit. That's okay. We should find it a comfort that, in fact, that the New Testament talks so much about the Holy Spirit because the early Christians didn't really get it either. Much of the New Testament is an explanation of the Holy Spirit to the people who accepted Jesus, but were still trying to figure out what the Spirit's role was in their lives. I want us to turn first to an Old Testament passage, Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. And I didn't mark it, and this is not my normal Bible. My old eyes. I'm going to have to get bifocals eventually here. Joel chapter 22, verses 28 through 29. Say, "And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." The very first line here says, "And afterward." After what? What is he referring to? To what is God and the Holy Spirit speaking to in the prophet Joel? After what? The previous section that has just ended as this verse begins has to do with the restoration of God's people and their resettlement into the Holy Land. Prophet Joel is speaking about the people's exodus, but also their return. The people were being removed from the Holy Land. They were being taken into captivity because they had not followed God and kept his commandments. But God still had a promise to keep. And so he renews and explains his promise once again, that the people of Abraham, the people of Israel, would be brought back to the Holy Land, and they would resettle there. And he says, after that has occurred, then I will pour out my spirit on all people. Again, all here has to do with all kinds of people. But it doesn't mean everyone. He's going to illustrate that by several different parallel statements that follow. Just like we saw last week in Psalm 121, where we saw God refer to sun and moon and mean all the powers that be, heavens and earth referring to all of creation, the comings and goings referring to all of our days. God's word here says that he'll pour out his spirit on all people. He says sons and daughters, meaning all of their children. Sons and daughters would have and be filled with the Holy Spirit. The next two lines have to do with the old and young. The old will dream dreams, and the young, they will see visions. You don't often think of older people dreaming dreams about the future. But an act of the Holy Spirit leads people to see and understand things that they would not have known otherwise. The old and the young and everything in between. The next set is also seems to be focused on the genders. It's men and women. But the Hebrew refers to both of them as slaves. Slave men and slave women. And so the focus maybe is more on their slavery than on their gender. In Israel, they weren't allowed to have slaves who were of the people of Israel. They had to have slaves that were foreigners. And so this may very well be a reference to non-Jews, Gentiles, us, who are part of the kingdom of God, the family of God, and are included then in receiving the Holy Spirit. These Gentiles who are part of the Israel covenant. The point of these verses is to emphasize the all that's at the very lead. The Holy Spirit will be poured out on all people, men and women, old and young, slaves included, Gentiles, foreigners. It used to be in the Old Testament that very few people had the Holy Spirit. They were limited to the priests, the kings, but especially the prophets. Those three groups were pretty much the only ones who had the Spirit to live with them and guide them. But Joel is speaking of the time that is now, the time that is today. The Holy Spirit is poured out on all people, regardless of their age or their gender or their status or country of origin. The Holy Spirit is poured out on all. It's a huge change from what it used to be. In the days of old, it was usually older people and older men, typically. but no, this day that we live in now is new and different. We don't have to listen for someone else to have a close relationship with God. We don't have to wait and listen for someone else to have that connection and the Holy Spirit in their lives. The Holy Spirit is available for each person who puts their faith in Jesus. Some people talk about the equality of men and women. This verse speaks to that importance in the church of the women and men even equal share in the Holy Spirit. Some people think that men and women are equal in their status and rank because of biology. But it doesn't take you very long to figure out that men and women have a different biology going on. Some people think that men and women are equal because we have simply codified it and set it in law that they should be. The root and foundation of the equality of men and women is not based in biology, and it's not based in sociology. It is based in theology. Because in the beginning, God created them in his image. In the new covenant, when the Holy Spirit comes, it is men and women, boys and girls, who can share in the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit was promised to be doled out and given out to people of all types. We live in that age. An age of immense blessing and wonder, because God's Spirit that was so reserved and so rare is now poured out for any who put their faith in the Son of God. What is the role of this Spirit? What is the purpose that he is here for? John chapter 14 speaks to this, and we'll be looking at verses 15 through 21. John 14, starting with verse 15, reads this way. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. From these verses here, Jesus is speaking about his interconnection with the Holy Spirit and the Father. The Trinity is discussed. But the word that Jesus uses to describe the Holy Spirit here is one that we have long sought to understand and have in our lives. Jesus describes him as an advocate, or your translation might call him the counselor. The role of a counselor, the role of an advocate, is to be someone who's on your side, who's giving you advice that is the right thing for you to do. In order for the Holy Spirit to be an advocate in our lives, he has to speak into our lives. He has to lead and direct us. The Holy Spirit's involvement in our lives is one that is for our benefit. Whenever you go and see a counselor of some kind, the person is supposed to be able to speak into the situation that you are experiencing, to give you advice and understanding of what's going on, whether in yourself or in your situation. Oftentimes we call lawyers counselors because they're there to give advice and plead your side, your case, and to advocate for you. The Holy Spirit has that role in our lives. He's our advisor, our helper, our guide. He's there guiding us and leading us to be the kind of people God wants us to be. Jesus speaks of the counselor, the advocate, the Spirit of truth, and describes him this way. He lives with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit is with Jesus' disciples. He's part of our lives and part of our fellowship and church. He's felt most clearly when we gather together. But he's also in us. The reason why the Holy Spirit is able to do his work differently now than in the Old Testament is because in the Old Testament they talk about the Spirit being over somebody because the Holy Spirit wasn't able to come inside. Jesus' death upon the cross wipes away our sin so that now the Holy Spirit can come and actually live within us. To live within us. The Spirit, often called the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, Christ's Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus even. He lives within us. Constantly abiding, never to be removed. Often we talk about this phrase, having the Spirit. So often associated with charismatic sort of responses. But in reality, it is just about having the Holy Spirit living vitally in our lives. What does it mean for us to experience the Holy Spirit? I think everybody kind of has a different experience because he is our counselor, our advocate, speaking to us about our own particular situation and life. Back when I was in middle school, I was in seventh grade, and my grandparent, my mom's mom, was sick with cancer. And the day she died was actually a Sunday. It might have been overnight, so it might have been into the Monday, early hours, Monday. But Sunday was when she made her turn for the worst. And for months, my grandpa would sit with us on one Sunday, and then the next Sunday, my mom would sit with us so that the other could go and be with my grandma and always be by her side. And so for months and months, there was a trade-off where my grandpa was there or my mom was there. And the particularly Sunday when she passed away, my mom was sitting there in the pew. And several things happened that normally didn't happen on a Sunday. One was the phone rang. Then there was a deacon who made his way up to the front to speak to the pastor. And as soon as I kind of got my bearings, I looked around. There was another deacon standing next to my mom. And so my mom got up, told me to stay. She exited out the door, and the pastor began to kind of let people know that my grandma was taking a turn for the worst. And as I'm sitting there in the pew, overwhelmed with emotion, I stand up, I punch a hymnal, and I make my way out in tears, not sure what to do. Where to go? that night, my mom didn't come home. We all went to bed. My mom came into my room during the night, woke me up and said, "You're not going to go to school tomorrow." I was kind of foggy. I didn't really know what was going on because I was just woken up from the middle of sleep. And as soon as my mom exited the room again, it hit me that my grandma had passed away. And all of the emotions began to swell up inside of me again. I kind of got mad at God a little bit. And then all of a sudden, I got just a peace that didn't go along with what I was feeling. And within seconds, I was asleep again. And I didn't wake up till well after school had started. Myself, I wasn't going to be upset. The Holy Spirit supplies things that we need and speaks into our situations. For me, it was peace in a moment of great emotion. One lady, as I was having dinner with her some years ago, explained some unusual situation that happened with her. She and her husband, long time been going to church, they were sitting through the service, came to the point of the invitation time, and as they were singing the song, all of a sudden she found herself stepping out into the aisle and walking down front because she was ready to get baptized and accept Christ. And she said, "It was not me that was walking down front. Oh, it was me." That God had pushed her out into the aisle and pulled her down front. She said, "If it had been my choice, I would have never went out because I don't want anyone looking at me." And her husband goes, "Yep, that's true." God moves us to do things at times that are different than are a part of our own normal character. Some people, when they're praying, they have pictures of Christ either beside them or behind them, in their presence somewhere. That too is the Holy Spirit. Charles Spurgeon, the prince of preachers, a good Presbyterian who always liked things orderly and perfect, you might say. He said that on a few occasions while he was preaching, that every once in a while God would tell him something he had to say to a person from the pulpit. One man said in his story that he had never been to the Prince of Preachers church before. He'd come in just to hear him, and in the middle of the sermon, Charles Spurgeon stopped what he was saying, pointed directly to him, spoke to him by name, and delivered the message that he was told to tell. And then he went on with his sermon. For me, the last few years, I've realized that when people's names are on my mind, when I'm thinking about somebody often, that it's time for me to make a phone call. At first, I thought it was just an opportunity for me to, well, at first I thought it was just my crazy mind working weird. That's what I first thought. But I realized that I could pray for them, so I started praying for them, and the names continued to come up for days and days, and then they would just drop off my mind. And I found out that after talking to some of them, like a week or two after their names had dropped off from mine, that there were critical things happening in their lives, that there was something going on during the time I was thinking about them. And I realized that what God was directing me to do is to pick up the phone and call. the Holy Spirit works in different ways with different people. John chapter 16, verse 14 is a very critical and important verse for understanding the work of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 16, verse 14 reads this way. He, referring to the Holy Spirit, he will glorify me, being Jesus, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make, and he will make known to you. Notice those words there. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. The role of the Holy Spirit is first and foremost to glorify Jesus Christ, to point us and the world to him. There are many people who make the mistake of thinking that the Holy Spirit is there to glorify themselves or glorify himself. But he is constantly working to point us to Christ. Bruce Ware, an excellent theologian, in his book Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, says this: as we focus here on the Holy Spirit, we shine a spotlight on the one who does not seek or desire to be the center of attention. Our focus on the Spirit will expose and magnify his own desire to bring honor to the Son and through him glory to the Father. John Piper says that the Holy Spirit's work is to honor, give majesty, glory, and prestige to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit wants to make the name of Jesus known all around the world, so that the name of Jesus is praised and sung in worship, so that Jesus, to whom we say our prayers and in his name we make our requests to the Father, so that it is Jesus whom the Spirit seeks to magnify and not himself. If our eye is drawn to the Spirit too much, Jesus will be overlooked. If we seek to glorify the Spirit in worship and preaching, we are out of step with the Holy Spirit himself. His desire and his leading is to glorify the Son of God, Jesus. If we are filled and led by the Spirit, then it is Jesus we will seek to magnify and honor. It is Jesus we want the world to see. Last few comments here. First of all, the Holy Spirit is a person who communicates and leads and speaks to us. The Holy Spirit can be grieved, Ephesians 4:30. The Holy Spirit wills. He has a desire that he wants to accomplish, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. And that will can be resisted, Acts 7:51. Therefore, you should get to know him and the work, and then work with him. One of his purposes is to produce the life of Christ in us, to reproduce Jesus in our lives. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And thirdly on my list is this, that the Holy Spirit is there to give us tools of God's work in the world. John 14:12. If you need a change in your life, the Holy Spirit is the one who has the power to make that happen. It is from him that we have salvation, that changes of our sinful patterns are accomplished. It's through him that renewal and revival of our souls takes place. If you're in need of a purpose and a calling in God's kingdom, it's the Holy Spirit who gives that to you. If you're looking for something to be different in your life, the Holy Spirit is the one you need to get to know. He brings that about. The Holy Spirit can be a topic that is difficult at times for us to listen to or understand. It may seem strange or odd, but the reality is that the person of Christ, the Holy Spirit, his Spirit, is here for us to be our advocate and our counselor, to be with us and in us, to lead and direct our lives. Let's pray. Lord Almighty, we are so glad that you did not leave us as orphans here. For Lord Jesus, you went to heaven, but you sent your Spirit to live with us. Lord, we are so glad that we have your constant and abiding presence, that you live within every believer. Lord, help us to get to know your Spirit, not be afraid of his work in our lives. Lord, bring about your kingdom here on earth and use us. Lord, as we pray and as we think about the Spirit's work in our lives, we pray, Lord, that we will be open, that we will not resist his will, that we will not see him or feel him as a foreigner or a stranger or something that doesn't belong. But Lord, that we will know your Spirit as our advocate, as our friend, as our guide in this world. Amen.